All right, Token Smart Podcast coming in on the close of season two of The Whip, and a killer whip this past week. Honestly, one of the most fun field trips I think we've had so far to the zoo. But what I'm really excited about today is Matthew showed up wanting to talk some shit. And I was like, yes, dude, I've been wanting to do this for a very long time now. Because this was, again, another event that was significantly held back by the limitations of CryptoVoxels, and we have a tendency to break shit wherever we've gone. It's not even really limited to CryptoVoxels. Like, pretty much everywhere we bring our crowd to grinds to a halt, and, you know, people's laptops are overheating and everything. So we're sort of at a crossroads where our event is growing to the point where it's become unsustainable on a lot of these platforms and almost has entirely migrated to Discord. That's probably not the correct way to say it, like not entirely migrated to Discord, but I'm pretty sure we're clocking in more numbers on Discord than anywhere else, because it's the only platform that can simultaneously, you know, broadcast audio to, you know, three digits worth of people. So I don't really know what the path is moving forward. Probably something along the lines of like staggering these, you know, the WHIP meetups in different virtual worlds and doing like a little bit more shopping around prior to the Meta Olympics kicking off and everything. But, you know, on the one hand, this sucks. On the other hand, it's like a great problem to have, because I'll let Matthew hit us with the numbers, but we were cranking this past week. Hit them up, man.
Dude, in Discord, we almost had 400 visitors during the WHIP. 400 visitors.
Holy cow.
Listening. Yeah. During the entirety of the event. That's insane. Like during the WHIP itself, we had like peak concurrent attendees around 100, a little less than that, right? Which is, it's good, it's strong, but like we were crashing things. And it's insane to see this growth in Discord. It's, for us on the WHIP side, it's fantastic, right? Like last week we had a little over 300. And then since June, we've been averaging slightly over like between 200 and 250 visitors on the Discord side. Like we're kind of cranking on that end, but we're being constrained on the CryptoVoxels on the VR world side in multiple aspects. Like specifically last week, there is this new update to chat where there were chat bubbles above people's heads, which is the stupidest update I've seen. And it's just tone deaf to what is important to CryptoVoxels right now, which is more events. We need more events to bring more people in to get more excited about this. It's not about like one or two people running around bumping into one another in close proximity, having like little chat bubble dialogues, right? It's the opposite of what's needed. And I know they're integrating Matrix chat, which could potentially work well with Discord, but honestly, like the best way to get more people in these virtual worlds is to really figure out the hard solution of how to get a Discord channel in to these CV parcels to use as like the default like in-world chat, and then incorporate the audio in whatever way that's possible from Discord into CV, just to make these events super plug and play, make people better in-world, give them the ability to come into Discord and use like the features and functions that Discord offers in a really, really seamless, streamlined way, and vice versa. Let folks that are in Discord that are familiar with that have an easy on-ramp into CryptoVoxels, which is super easy in that plug and play, like click the URL, you're in the fashion that it's come known for, right? But it's not the direction that CV is going, and it's super frustrating given the numbers and growth that the WHIP is experiencing. And I feel like any VR world needs to be on notice that they need to optimize for these events. And specifically, I mean, to toot our own horn, they need to optimize for the WHIP, because we're a force. We're skyrocketing right now. And the names that we're bringing in, I mean, season three, that's around the corner. We're about to have season sponsors. Like the train is leaving the station, and we're going to propel the growth potentially if these VR worlds are paying attention to these VR worlds. Like it's their mega opportunity, I think, to onboard a lot of users to lose. Hopefully they're listening. Hopefully they start to optimize for the events and that sort of growth. But it was super frustrating last week to have that growth in Discord and really have the VR world component, the CV component fall flat because of the stupid changes that they made.
You know, it's interesting because it's so anybody who follows CryptoVoxels a lot, if you're in the chat, like I love talking to Ben and everything, but one thing that he says a lot whenever people bring up exactly what you're saying is that his focus is, you know, he's not necessarily interested in making millions of dollars. He's interested in making an amazing platform and having, say, 10,000 builders in world. And it's like, in theory, that's an amazing idea. I love it. But I've, you know, we've talked about this in the past. It's like, you know, I love that idea. If I had some amazing marketing effort and I was able to get 10,000 people in, I'm sure you'd be happy. But what's going to happen when those 10,000 people hit your platform and then it just breaks on them? Unfortunately, 9,900 of those people are going to turn around and say, well, never again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, this is the sort of thing that helps everybody if you make our events work well.
It seems like a very silly problem to have, right? Like some of the CryptoVoxels is sort of its own animal because I know that, you know, Ben has avoided, you know, VC money and is trying to do things his own way. But some of these other platforms have a shitload of funding and it seems like very silly and short-sighted of all of these platforms for us to be like, yo, we've got 400 people that we want to bring to your platform at the same time. You know, it's a perfect opportunity for you to show it off to the masses. And some of these platforms have millions of dollars worth of funding and they can't support that. Like that seems like a disaster, like on, you know, from an outsider's perspective. I'm like, what else are you building these platforms for too? To Matthew's point, like just so people can like build some shit like Minecraft and have like a side conversation with somebody. Like it would seem like their first go-to thing would be how do we support like a lot of concurrent users if a lot of concurrent users want to use our cool product. I don't know, man. What was it, the chat thing that so for me, man, I went off the rails like behind the scenes with Matthew a couple weeks ago after the fashion show situation because I was just pissed, man, because that was the in my head such had the potential to be such an awesome event that was totally marred by these technical difficulties. And I was at that point, I was like, fuck this, man. Let's boycott CV until they can get their act together because it's not even like, you know, that announcer saved the day at that time. But anyway, that was sort of like the tipping point for me. And I showed up hot after that. And was talked down probably rightfully so, but what was it, Matt? Was it the chat box that really got to you this week?
Yeah. Last week it was the chat box, right? Because I mean, we have these community events where we have in world, like up over, I mean, total throughout the whole event, over 100 people, like approaching the 200 mark, right? Coming through CV. And that's a lot of people. And a lot of people have comments, but if people are only, everything they say is just above their head for a couple seconds and then disappears. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, what was that optimized? What was that solution for? Who was it for? It doesn't make any sense. Like, I know that Ben is focused on getting more builders in world, but like, why do you have builders? Like, what are they building things for? Again, like within virtual context, if you have a build, if you have land, you want to drive traffic there. You drive traffic to virtual builds and lands through events. There's no other mechanism that I've ever seen that accomplishes that goal. And the whip is the best vehicle for that. And we've been screaming from the rafters that we need better solutions for events. If they want more builders, they need more events. Right now, like we're basically the only event out there. Us, DAO Records is doing their thing, right, with the pop-up. But it's constrained on our end. And despite all those constraints, we're still growing, right? Rapidly. And still to have this fall on deaf ears, it's supremely frustrating. The performance issues, I foresee that lasting into the future because that's also like dependent on people's individual setups and rigs and whatnot, right? There's ways that they can mitigate against that, but it's just like asinine updates, like the dialogue bubble last week, that really set me off.
I can tell, man.
Because it's just so tone deaf.
It's so tone deaf. Poor Trizlet, man. Trizlet's got like the inside connection with Ben. He's in charge of like the wearable situation. And I know, you know, we're sort of, you know, probably putting you in a weird position here and everything. But Blockstack was also, you know, trying to mint some wearables and everything for this event, and that hasn't been working for what seems like a long time, through no fault of Trizlet's or anything. But it does seem like the things are sort of piling up. So we won't try and get you in trouble, Trizlet. You know, our intentions are good and everything.
You know, I don't. Yeah, I mean, I try not to be as like all that politically correct. Honestly, I don't mind like going off on a rant or whatever. I mean, some of it is issues, and there are things that the developers need to hear, because it's funny how when you talk to some people, they're like, "Well, that's silly. Why would I care about this wearables thing?" But the people who care about it care so deeply that that's such a big turnoff that I'm like, "Well, you might not care, but I do pretty deeply." So, you know, so it's depending on who you ask, you know, how big of an issue that is. Everybody's opinion is totally different. I think it's a huge thing, because that's your avenue to customization. Otherwise, everybody's,
yep,
it's all black and white, and you're all mannequin stick figures. Like, mm-hmm, without this, then everybody now can't differentiate themselves in the world. And that's a huge part of the social aspect of this.
100%.
I mean, if I'm just talking to random people that I don't know their name because the name's not working, I can't see their, you know, they're not wearing a different face. I'm like, I just lost most of my, you know, interest in this conversation. You know, you have to work at it to make it keep you there. And that's not what social media is about. That's not what makes Facebook huge, right? I mean, I don't know how old, you know, depending on how old people are, I don't know if people remember MySpace, where people were really went crazy, and you'd have the singing cats and ridiculous HTML off the rails go on you. You start clicking around, it would start playing music on your speaker super loud. But that was the sort of individuality that kept people coming back, right? Mm-hmm. Good or bad, it's crazy. And that's what I'm here for.
Yep.
So that's what I see wearables, you know, bringing to the forefront.
100%. It's things like wearables, like a compelling reason for people to keep coming back in world is what's needed, right? Wearables, I think, is the best example. I think the projects need to do more thinking on what really differentiates themselves from, like, for example, Discord, right? Because, I mean, the pandemic is really making it easy for us to experiment in both worlds. But there's going to be a point in time when people are going to kind of go back to the regular day-to-day. And unless there's this real compelling reason to hop into CryptoVoxels or Decentraland or wherever, right, people are just going to opt for the more lightweight solution, which is Discord, which is, it's working now and it'll continue to work, right? But they really need to think about these compelling reasons. What will keep people coming back in world? Wearables are that for right now, but they really, really need to give that more considered thought, which doesn't seem to be the case.
You know, it's funny because everybody makes fun of, people make fun of gamers a lot, but really when you think about people who are going to tax your system most, they're going to find the bugs immediately, they're going to report them, and they're going to get fly off the handle if you don't fix them quick. Gamers is the community that will be all over that, especially the hardcore ones. Mm-hmm. That's why Discord works so well. It's designed for gamers. That was who it was designed for at first. You never have video drop off. The audio stuff is on point. You know, it's fairly cheap. They have all kinds of gamer related like side toys, which if you're not a gamer, who cares? But if you are, this is what you use. And that's why it works so well. So, you know, like there's a lot of I don't understand why more businesses don't go to Discord, because it actually, I find it works somewhat better than, you know, some of the Zoom and other chat ones, mm-hmm, myself.
100%, man. I'm always blown away when I run into people who have not heard of Discord and who use some combination of other things. And I remember talking with Alegria a long time ago about how he was like, considered himself at least at the time, like a Discord maximalist because of all how streamlined everything is and all the amazing features. And it's just sort of weird. Like we organically migrated, you know, the bulk of our listenership and chat dialogue and everything to Discord. I mean, it was certainly not the original intention. It was to, you know, have it all locally hosted in CV, and then, you know, obviously we started breaking everything, and you know, here we are like mostly living on Discord. So I mean, fortunately that has been like a great short-term solution, but you, yeah, obviously do lose a lot of like the, you know, epic weirdness and individuality. Although we're getting like more refined in our Discord approach too, like this past week Easy has taken up official link dropper duties, because that's something that people have really enjoyed during the presentations and everything when they're in the chat box. in Discord. So, you know, he'll be curating links prior to each whip so that it's not like a combination of all of us doing it. We've got it all on tap, ready to go. So, you know, while everyone else is sort of slacking, you know, we are actually continuing to make these events more robust through Discord. And it just seems like, you know, Discord was just sort of there. It's not like, you know, really part of like at least the blockchain-based metaverse. And it would be nice to like keep it within that, like, you know, quote unquote family or whatever. But yeah, man, people need to like get their shit together.
Right. I got no problem jumping out of blockchain stuff to find tools that work for us. Honestly, like I'm huge into like cryptos. What brought me into this whole thing, you know, and got me there and it's keeping me entertained and excited about the area. But if the blockchain based tools don't work for us, then they don't work. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to just sit on it and pretend like they do.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that seems like, you know, the direction we almost have to head in right at some point. Because we're essentially showing parabolic growth, and if it continues on this track, I mean, we only released Whipcoin, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and there's still to this second not a whole lot you can actually do with it. But ever since that, like, our crowds have continued to increase, and you know, this is one of those things where, like, you know, the cat's been out of the bag, and we were growing like significantly before that, but that definitely, like, you know, increased things even further. And I guess we should talk about like closing it out this week. We got the sort of the end of what we're calling season two, and we got Whip Asia tonight. And then we will take a whip break before we come back with the Metal Olympics. Matt, you want to sort of give them a sneak peek on what's coming up this week?
Yeah. Whip Asia, we have a real cool sponsored host in Polygonal Minds and Crypto Avatars. So Crypto Avatars is this new multiverse avatar solution where you buy your provably unique one of one avatar that you can then use in any multi or metaverse that supports the WebXR standard. The team at Polygonal Minds is behind it, Toxam. So I'm really excited to have that drop at Whip Asia. We'll also have Sebastian there from Sandbox. We'll be talking about Blockchain Gaming Alliance as well. And then Serena from Mukta will be there. And then we have a cool project out of Korea, NFT Bank. And Daniel will be there talking about their NFT analytic system that they're cooking up. So if you're into NFTs and want to have like a nice snapshot of your collecting history and sales and all that, NFT Bank is a really cool project. Then Thursday.
Wait, can you tell me more about the Polygonal Mind drop before you go on? Like, is it like, do you have price points or, and like, if they're all one out of ones, is it like a series of unique drops or how does that work?
So there's going to be two specific avatars that they're going to launch an auction for at the Whip.
Cool.
After those two are gone, they're going to roll out more avatars. They're all going to be one of ones though. I'm not sure what the price points will be tomorrow, how exclusive they'll be, but there's going to be eventually an avatar for everyone, but they will all be unique. There's not going to be any additions of these avatars. So it's a pretty.
They launched an interesting one, an OpenSea. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it. It's like 100 days for 100 avatars one, but they've got cards that are, I've been told they're planning on trying to create them down the road. I bought a couple, but those ones, they're like for editions of five, it looks like. So there's like five of each one. Mm-hmm. But there's some pretty cool ones in OpenSea. So if anybody's interested in looking, go look up their 100 avatars for like 100 days thing on OpenSea. And you can see probably some examples of the type of work Polygon Alliance puts out.
Totally. So excited for that. Whip Asia. And then the season finale for season two of the Whip on Thursday, we have Vance Design, who will be stopping through. We have Jordan from the Meme Project. He's going to be talking. Looks like they're going to be sponsoring too. So we're going to have like a don't buy meme, like an anti-advertisement sponsor, basically. For that, that'll be fun to talk about. Robert from Play to Earn is going to be stopping through, talking about what he's doing there and probably talking about the Meta Olympics and his reporting there. And we have Stefan from Mag NFT. He'll be talking as well about that project. So And then, I mean, Rizzo, you want to hit him with the plans for the after party? How we're going to wrap things up for season two?
Yeah, as long as we don't screw it up in the next couple of days, we're going to do the epic whip drop, hopefully. We'll get the OpenSea storefront open and have a whole bunch of these whip moments ready to go on top of some of the wearables and other things that we've sourced. And so our hope is that for the season finale of the whip, we have our very own custom whip drop, and again, everyone comes away with something is certainly the plan, especially because since you can only get the whip coin at our events, we want everyone to be able to definitely get in on the first whip drop. So that's hopefully the way we're going to end things on Thursday. And I don't foresee there being like too many problems. We've got to work out some sort of way to withdraw whip coin from TipCC, which may not necessarily be in place by Thursday. So we've got a couple ideas for workarounds if people only have their whip coin locked up in TipCC. So we don't have to worry about that. I guess I got to hit up CoinGecko or something like that in order to get the TipCC thing to play nicely with whip coin or whatever. But so that's the plan. Epic whip drop of our own stuff on Thursday to sort of close out the season. And then we take a breather and circle back for season three, which, as Matthew already like sort of alluded to, we're basically taking that week off to plot and scheme on how to continue to make this bigger and better and more exciting. And the Met Olympics will be kicking off shortly after that as well, most likely rolled into the whip as an after party style event. So on a weekly basis, instead of going to some sort of random thing or random location or having a random sponsor during Met Olympic season, that's the thing. So it should be fun, man. I'm excited to cap it off this week with two solid whips. A breather is always nice to, take to come back strong afterwards. So yeah, man, should be a good one that people won't want to miss out on. And of course, we'll be dropping whip coin at both of these whips so that people have their wallets loaded up for the drop on Thursday. So should be dope, man.
That sounds awesome.
Hey, Trizlet.
Hey.
Yo, yeah, man, I know you got stuff going on, man. And we're sort of – every time I imagine that you can't, like, make the – podcast time, I imagine you like buried under wires or like something like that, where you just like got bombarded with work or whatever. But I know you've got like cool stuff going on that would probably be very interesting for our audience to hear about, and I would be too if you want to like get into that on sort of like a tangent here.
Yeah, I've been working lately. I've been talking to Joel from Niftex quite a bit. Now, I don't know how much you've looked at their stuff, but a lot of people are fractionalizing like punks and things. And one thing I launched last week with him, so I'm involved with Chain Guardians, which is, you know, a video game, like an anime based video game type dApp. And I've got one of the first guys they minted on their chain, Mudra, that he's a Matic based asset. So what I, with Niftex, we actually, I fractionalized him and threw him up, and then everything's going to work off the Matic network. So there's two sides to that, and that, you know, I wanted to get it out there because I think the fractionalized ownership stuff is wicked cool and it's a neat experiment, but also, like, this is an opportunity to get more people at least trying Matic, because I, after using Matic for a while, I really think it's a solid technical solution, but the onboarding is a little funky. So if anybody's interested in looking at that, you can go to niftex.com and you can see the launch. But I noticed some people were trying to buy shards, but then they got issues. So I got some Matic and I was sending it to people, you know, like, here, I'll send you some if you need some, just to, because Matic is just like Ethereum, but you use Matic to pay your gas chart fees. But man, I was seeing.
Give me like explain it like I'm five, man, with Matic and everything. I mean, I'm familiar with the name and I feel like I got the gist of it, but like, how can you walk me through like a like ground floor example of like, okay, I want to buy a shard, then how do I, what's the benefit and how do I use Matic?
Well, Matic, it's basically like a clone of Ethereum in a way. It's just, it's running on a side one. So to get Ethereum and tokens from Ethereum to Matic, you need to go to wallet.matic.com, and then you can use their things to basically, you deposit it into like a holding piece, and then it creates a token on their side chain that you can use. And then when you're ready to cash out, you go the opposite way. So that's the idea. It's basically a bridge between the two networks. But once you get on Matic, you have to use Matic to pay gas fees instead of Ethereum. So if you wrap your Ethereum and then you get on the Matic chain, you start trading with people, then now you're only paying with Matic, which is cheaper, but also the gas price, like I think it was like 0.002 cents, and it was going like 3 or 4 seconds, you know, whenever I was doing transactions. They have a whole Uniswap clone up there where they're starting to onboard some things, so you can get right over there and start playing liquidity management just like you would on Uniswap, except it happens in a second. It costs you like millipennies to transfer. So I'm like, man, I don't know why more people aren't doing this, but the onboarding one, you have to get to the bridge, switch your tokens over, and then you, to work in Matic, you need to, in MetaMask, you need to add a new MetaMask or Ethereum network provider, which that's the complex part. You know, it's not hard when you got a tutorial and you follow the directions, but it's definitely an extra step that if you're not used to playing with Ethereum, you know, on the technical level, I can see it throwing up some roadblocks for people. So like, I feel like it's a positive. It's a good way to get people over here. Like, here's a tangible reward. Like, you could get shard ownership of this sort of thing if you can figure out how to get over here. So I was pictured as like dangling an apple, you know, a carrot in front of people's heads to try to bring them over to see if, you know, it's, I've taken some of my learnings from it and I've gone back to the Matic team to tell them what I've been seeing, you know, so hopefully I can help them get some better user how to's, because I really feel like Matic and Flow are the two ones that I've, you know, been exposed to now that seem like a really good solution to get past this gas crisis we're in, you know?
Yeah. I mean, obviously we're like knee deep in it like ourselves. So, you know, other solutions have to pop up, and I'm not super like on the tech end of things, but I'm glad you are. And I'm glad we've got like people working hard at trying to like circumvent this whole situation. Cause I actually spoke at this hackathon over the weekend, and that was one of like the recurring themes, was like being blockchain agnostic or needing second layers, or, you know, how do we all like move forward from this now that we've like basically all come to the same determination that Ethereum is cool, but not like you don't want all your eggs in that basket and everything. And that's basically how we got to doing the Whipcoin distribution on Discord, at least in the short term, because, you know, the gas price when we originally deployed the contract was still high, but something we felt like we could bite off. And then it went 4, 5, 10x, like in the span of, you know, a week or two. And, you know, now here we are with our like fake side chain, AKA the Discord tip bot, being used to distribute it at a much lower cost. But,
No, I mean, I was actually thinking, because now that I've been working with the Matic stuff more, I was actually thinking it'd be cool to create a bridge that we could bridge Whipcoin over to Matic. I'm like, man, if I could make some tradable assets on the other side, I'm like, this could be, but again, how many people would use it, right? That's, if you throw too many technical roadblocks in front of people, it might not take off as much. We've talked about that a lot, where it's, I deal with developers a lot, and, you know, they're a certain type of people. They love experimenting, they love playing with stuff, but the marketing side seems to just go by the wayside, because, you know, the thought is like, well, I built the best product, of course everybody's gonna buy my thing, right? And that's where it ends. I'm like, well, that's not how it works, really. I mean, if you're not getting it out in front of people, showing them how to use it, then no, they're not gonna use it, even if it is the best. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Matic has a good opportunity there, but Rizzo and I were talking with Simona Pop from Status last week, and they've employed, or they've incorporated ZK syncs into what they're doing to kind of mitigate against gas costs on chain. It's a pretty great effect, apparently. I mean, I'm not sure what they did on the technical end to incorporate ZK syncs, or how exactly they did that. But I mean, that seems to be pretty, I mean, at least considering the gas costs, and they said that they were paying like pennies on the dollar compared to what they would have been for normal gas fees because of how they incorporated ZK syncs. But I'm not sure about
that's pretty cool. I mean, that's, any of those are good. I just, it's hard to say, you know, small incremental changes are great and everything, but it's like, it doesn't really, if either there needs to be a paradigm shift and it needs to be some huge thing, or we need to, I talked to the, because Neon District is moving to Matic. I guess they already have. Mm-hmm. And I had mentioned in their Discord a couple times, you know, hey, how much, you know, are you people interested in looking at, you know, how Matic works? And like, well, no, we're just going to create an easy front end on the website. And I'm like, yeah, that'll probably work. But The nice thing about Ethereum is it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out when a transaction's stuck, what's happening, you know? There's a lot of easy tools you can click on. Oh, this isn't working. I'll speed it up. Oh, I'll cancel this. You know, it's like those are the tools you need people to understand how to use to avoid user frustration. because as we said, first time a user can't get what they want and it doesn't work right off, like, they might reach out for help, but most people will just throw their hands up and say, nope, never again. And now you lost that person. No,
100%, man. Even I've been like technically savvy enough to, you know, figure out a lot of like the random problems you run into on the Ethereum network. And I feel like they're, if you're crypto native for the most part or understand crypto, they're like manageable problems. But yeah, I totally agree with like roadblocks and taking things like one or two steps farther. Even like sometimes you lose a significant amount of people depending on, you know, what the carrot on the end of the stick is. Y'all want to try and keep this like sort of tight today. I know we got Easy's listening party going on tonight. So shout out to all the people at Easy's listening party. Sandy Meows, AKA the Meow Meow, will be doing the editing for it and be helping us out a lot moving forward with a number of things. So shout out to her and everybody at the listening party. And is there anything else that we need to squeeze in this week?
I don't think so. Jim's made it a pretty big point that Whipcoin is one Whipcoin is worth one Whipcoin, no matter what the liquidity pool says. So that's caused some interesting back and forth discussions and in the channels and the Whip channels, I've noticed.
Jim was really enjoying being like Lord of Whip Rain on the Whip on Thursday. He's he liked that. I don't know if he'll continue to do it, but he said out of his own stash, he's going to continue to make it rain. So, yeah, that's Jim, man, aka Whip, the God of Whip Rain, on at least up until this point. So
all that I could think of, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox one, where he walks to the bathroom, the guy's doing drugs. And he's like, hey, what's that? He's like, oh, you don't want this. It makes your bad feelings be good feelings. It's like, what? I kind of want that. It's like, that's what I'm picturing here. No, don't go to liquidity pool. Do not buy Whipcoin. No.
Yes, he's really pushing the this is a pointless token mantra or whatever. And, you know, genuinely, I feel like when we did put it out, the assumption from a lot of people was like, how come you didn't immediately throw it up on Uniswap? Where's the liquidity pool? All this stuff. And, you know, we put it out understanding that people would probably do that, but with no like roadmap to like trying to squeeze as much profit as humanly possible out of it. It was like genuinely a tool that we felt would be useful in enhancing our events and, you know, rewarding the audience and everything. So beyond that, who the hell knows like how this takes shape moving forward. But yeah, Jim's trying to really drive that narrative home. And I feel like the more he drives that narrative home, the more people don't really believe him at all and think this is, they're going to get rich off Whipcoin. So I don't know. Y'all can figure it out. All right, y'all. So we good? Yeah go ahead, man.
Cool. No, I think I'm good.
All right, y'all. Well, I will see you guys in about 12 hours or so at 2 a.m. Eastern time at Whip Asia. And hopefully a bunch of people at the listening party will pop in as well and check out this drop in our cool speakers and get that whipsy. There, y'all.
Awesome. Nice. Later, boys. Later.